the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Donald Trump said on this video that he likes kissing pretty women and that...
You don't?
Sir, let me... Can I finish?
You like kissing ugly women?
Excuse me. Folks, I am standing in the middle of 1984 civilization.
It's bad, you know.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live on this Tuesday, November 7th, 2017. And with every sunset and sunrise, InfoWars is vindicated and proven right again. Time and time again, news breaks years, months, days after we brought it to you first. Whether it's the Podestas tied up in the Uranium One deal in Russia, whether it's Donna Brazile admitting now that the campaign was rigged against Bernie Sanders by Hillary Clinton. We had that for you years in advance. Years in advance, folks. And that's why InfoWars is the tip of the spear. That's why we get the best people to call into our show and give us the intel. That's why we get the best guests to come on our show and give us the intel. Now, we had a very important caller call into the show today who has broken news before on InfoWars with Alex Jones and did it again today. He was set to come on the air with us here on the War Room, but had to cancel because, well, let's just say he's not being allowed to come on or has been called in for, let's just say, questioning. So Alex Jones is going to join us here in the second segment to break it all down. But the story is, because of the election of Donald Trump, because of the resurgence of America and the Republic, the globalists that have occupied our government and the deep state that is anti-American, pro-one-world government are panicking because they do not control the president and they no longer control the hearts and minds of America. So what we're seeing is pushback, and we now have the intelligence and we now have the sources that the deep state, colluding with other international foreign powers and terrorist regimes, the same moderate rebels that were run by people like John McCain and Barack Obama, in countries like Yemen and Syria, are planning on launching more terror attacks. Now, these sources also came on and broke to us that there would be a purge of Saudi royals that we're seeing happen. Now you're seeing a buildup, if you will, towards war in that region between Yemen and Saudi Arabia and Iran. So we've got the sources that have the breaking intel, and Alex Jones is going over that right now to try to flesh it all out so that we can get down to the bottom of what exactly this means. There's the exclusive on Infowars.com. Reason behind Royal Saudi Purge revealed. So not only are we going to give you the breaking news before it breaks in the mainstream media, we are going to break it down for you with our intel and with our sources, just exactly what it means and why it's happening. So as we are about to go to break, Alex Jones will be joining us in the next segment to break down exactly what is going on in Saudi Arabia right now, the significance of that, and then also what the deep state, in collusion with some of these terror states, are planning on doing in the coming days and months to try to scuttle the Trump regime, scuttle President Trump, and continue scuttling America into fear, into division, and into pain from terrorist attacks. So we've got the sources, we have the intel, folks, and on the other side, Alex Jones is going to break it all down. This was such big news that he had to come out today and really flesh it all out with his sources and his intelligence, cross-reference that with what he heard today on air. And he's going to be joining us in just 70 seconds to flesh it all out and break it down. What does it all mean? Is it just a coincidence that this comes after the election of President Donald Trump? No. We are fighting back and we are having victories, but the deep state will not go quiet.
Let's make talk radio great. is the War Room.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Tuesday, November 7th, 2017. Welcome to the War Room. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. And once again, InfoWars is breaking news before it's news. President Trump got elected by the American people. This was us bucking the establishment, bucking the New World Order, and saying we're not going to kowtow to your fake news and your intimidation anymore. Now that we have a president in the White House, the deep state, in collusion with the globalists, are freaking out. And you know what that means. There's going to be pushback, and they're not going to let America win easily. They're not going to let America go out of their fists, out of their clenched fists, without a fight. And now we've got intel on what the deep state plans on doing, which includes launching more terror attacks across the world as we continue to spiral towards nationalism. I'm now joined by Alex Jones, who is breaking this intel now. Alex, this is a serious, significant event that we have the deep state planning now.
There are criminal elements in Saudi Arabia that have been working with the deep state, with Obama, with John McCain and others, to launch the Arab Spring. We know that Trump has properly said that Hillary and Obama co-founded ISIS together. So if you look at that information, if you look at what's unfolding there, they have been really upset at Trump. They want to embarrass Trump. And so they have been gearing up, trying to fund terror attacks inside of the U.S., and you've got Iran working with some of the insiders and some of the Wahhabists now against the U.S. and against the Saudi king. And we saw this ICBM Saturday fired out of Yemen. Again, I'm going to go ahead and just go in here. We've got the ICBM fired out of Yemen going into Saudi Arabia. We've got the big roundups there. And so the big news from our caller, our source has proven very, very accurate, but we can also see the intel for ourselves, is that this civil war is spilling over here in the United States, out of the Middle East, this Shiite-Sunni civil war that's going on. So again, I'm going to be breaking more of this down with you here today. Zach was going to be able to come on the show. They called him and said he couldn't come on again. So we're going to air the call coming up at the bottom of the hour. So we're getting that clip of when he was on at the end of the show today, because it fits into all the other things we've seen with the leftist uprisings, Antifa. That's all deep state run. And the deep state that helped fund ISIS and helped Google and others basically support it, they are now planning a terror attacks or terror attacks here in the United States. So, again, we're going to be breaking all that down. The Arab Civil War spilling over into the United States and more. All the intel of John McCain being a traitor, working with him, that's all coming out. And now that the leadership of this has been decapitated in Saudi Arabia, now that the head's been cut off with all these arrests, we're looking at these badly coordinated networks that are basically sheep-dipped by Obama and the CIA that are now rogue groups basically operating on their own now that the head's been chopped off. And our intel sources, not just Zach, are saying, look for major Yemeni's terror attacks this week, which will then be blamed on cutout patsies, and then they'll call for gun control. So it's more sophisticated than a regular Islamic attack like we saw last week in New York. It's also part of all this. It's part of staging attacks, then framing the right wing for it and using that as a way to then destabilize the country and try to drive Trump from office. Again, I'm going to shoot another live report on this. We also have Congress having hearings with Twitter, Facebook, and Google admitting that they're censoring us and calling for more censorship because we are aware of what's happening and we're putting the critical intel out. Back to you, Owen Schroyer. More at the bottom of the hour.
And this is all being reported here first, folks. You're not going to get this anywhere else except InfoWars. And that is why we get the calls. That is why we get the guests. That is why we get the sources. Because they know we will report it and we will get this information out to the people. And again, this is all the globalists. This is all the deep state. This is all the controlled establishment over DC and our politics, our media, everything, Hollywood, all of it collapsing now with the election of Donald Trump. All of them waged everything they had to try and defeat Donald Trump in the 2016 presidential election. and it wasn't enough. So now they're throwing everything against the wall to try to delegitimize him, hurt this country, hurt his presidency. And what you're seeing is a reaction by the Republic to this disease on our country, trying to shed it, trying to rid ourselves of this disease. Now, unfortunately, what you have is a bunch of brainwashed people, mentally ill people, that still buy into the establishment hype, that still believe Trump is the bad guy. This isn't about Trump being perfect. This is about Trump not being controlled like all of the other U.S. presidents, at least in my lifetime. This is about having someone in the White House that wants to actually be the president of the United States, wants to put America first, wants America to succeed, get rich, get more jobs, have better foreign relations, get better trade deals. That's what President Trump wants. And you're seeing the backlash of this across the face of the entire earth now, including what's happening in Saudi Arabia, Yemen, and the likes of that region. So this is something we will continue to have our eye on. And again, we will be airing the phone call from the Alex Jones Show that happened today with the exclusive intel on what is coming from the news out of Saudi Arabia. And while all this is going on, you've got President Trump on his trip to Asia. He will be flying directly over North Korea on his way to China, where he is expected to have a massive turnout of support for his arrival. You keep seeing these stories about all the excitement for President Trump's arrival in these foreign countries. Don't remember Obama getting that. No, I remember Obama bowing to the Saudi kings. Trump didn't do that. I remember Obama bowing to the Prime Minister of Japan. Trump didn't do that. So the beta male cuck, Hussein Obama, no longer our president. And what do you know? All of a sudden, other countries have to adjust their foreign policy because America is back and we're not going to be bullied and pushed around, and the American people are not going to be put second to the rest of the world anymore. And you're starting to see the pushback from the deep state on that. Wow. How much more vindication do we need? Donna Brazile comes out and says that she faced sexism in Hillary Clinton's campaign. We told you that Hillary Clinton was a sexist, monster, racist pig. Donna Brazile talks about in her book how she feared for her life because Seth Rich was killed. Who told you about the significance of Seth Rich's death before this book was released? Donna Brazile talks about how Hillary Clinton rigged the primary against Bernie Sanders. Well, besides InfoWars, there was really only one person that wanted to talk about that, and that was President Trump. And once again, we're all proven right in spades. How about here when Trump comes out, makes his first statements after the Texas shooting and says, to me, this isn't a guns problem, this is a mental health problem. Now all the stories come out. He abused his child. He abused his family. He was discharged from the Air Force. He had tried to break weapons into a mental facility at the Air Force and then escaped that very mental facility. So clearly, Trump proven right again that this is a mental health problem and not a guns problem. When will the media ever give President Trump the kudos he deserves for being right and his willingness as not a politically correct cuck like Obama, his willingness to go out on a limb and make these statements knowing that the media is going to attack him, lie about him, smear him, and he still comes out and says what needs to be said and says the right thing and is proven right in spades. So you've got all that going on. More on Weinstein Gate. Weinstein Gate doesn't seem to be winding down. We'll have more of that. The Democrat Party's honestly sick. We got a news story from NewsWars.com, Dan Lyman. Ted Lieu walks out of the ceremony to honor the victims of the Texas massacre. Truly sick, the state of the Democrats right now. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. Facebook and Google and YouTube and Democrats on the floor of the Hill all want InfoWars censored. They want us shut up. And you ask yourself, why? All we do is bring you the news. We bring you tomorrow's news today, next week's news today, next month's news today, next year's news today. So why do they want us censored? Is it because we're beating them? Is it because they can't have the truth out there? Can they not handle the truth? Are they the ones that cannot handle the truth? No, I'm not making this up, folks. Let's now go to the Hill, where Democrat lawmaker Mike Quigley, a Democrat from Illinois who doesn't know how to get a real haircut, calls Twitter to censor InfoWars.
Andrew, let me just note this, that if we're asking, is are we still in this situation? As of just a short time ago, and I'm talking about when this meeting started, on Twitter, if you clicked on the hashtag NYC terrorist attack, which is, quote, trending, marked with a red button saying, quote, live, the top tweet links to an InfoWars story with the headline, Imam, I warned de Blasio about New York City terror.
Oh, my gosh. Not InfoWars. Oh, no.
This is a real-time example of when we talk about this information being weaponized. How quickly can
that doesn't even make sense.
And what's your responsibility to set the record straight so that
hold on, just pause it real quick. Just notice what he says here. See, these are the buzzwords that they use. I'm constantly trying to harp on this because this is how you can understand what they're doing. All he says is this is how you weaponize information. What is he even talking about? He doesn't give you a quote. He doesn't give you some news story that we shared or published. He just says this is weaponized information. What exactly is he talking about? The truth? Weaponized? Oh, don't worry. We've got more CNN saying that you can abuse facts. I mean, these people literally want you to live in a reality where truth doesn't exist. They want you. That's why they want InfoWars censored. They cannot have an intelligent citizen base. They cannot have an informed republic, or people like Mike Quigley wouldn't be elected into Congress, wouldn't even be elected dog catcher. Let's go back to this guy.
Know that it's fake news, and at least at
fake
some
news
point in time, it can't
doesn't
keep
quote a story,
like
doesn't
sort of
quote anything.
Legitimate world.
That's something we're thinking about all the time because it's a bad user experience, and we don't want to be
here's
known
Twitter
as a platform for that.
So now, according to this guy from Twitter, this total twit from Twitter, all the twits at Twitter, this guy says that's bad for the users to get InfoWars stories. Wow. Even though we're always right before everyone else, it's bad for the user's experience to get the truth from InfoWars before it's official anywhere else. Yes, it doesn't matter that everything you read in Donna Brazile's book you pretty much found on InfoWars.com a year before she published her book. Twitter says that's a bad user experience for you to be informed. Go back to it.
For instance, the system self-corrected. That shouldn't be the first tweet you see anymore. It should be a USA article the last time I checked.
Pause it right there. So there it is. There's their agenda. Well, straight out of NPR,
we're going to make sure that you see a USA Today article before any InfoWars articles. We're going to make sure the New York Times gets to the front of that. The Washington Post, CNN, MSNBC, Brian Williams. These are the trusted people. We will make sure that our users get a good experience and that we will put all these articles before any InfoWars articles. This is our goal. This is how we can make the best user experience for people to be completely indoctrinated into the fake news of the liberal mindset.
All right, go back to Twitter here.
USA Today. At lunch, I did. Yeah, and I also saw the system correct it.
Can you give me a
yes? We
really
corrected
good
it.
Guess
we
on how
we
long
corrected InfoWars right out of your news feed.
We can follow up with you and your staff on that. And I don't have the stat in front of me, so I don't know. But we're
don't worry. We corrected your news feed.
Balance, you know, free speech with making the information you see on the system, especially around trends that we direct you to. So if you're clicking on a hashtag.
All right, pull this up right here. This tells you everything. This meme I found on the internet today. So you've probably seen
the famous Rowdy Roddy Piper film when he puts on the glasses and then he can see the formaldehyde faces. This is kind of a reverse of that. Trump is giving a speech to the Boy Scouts and he's waving at them. Everybody's cheering. It's a beautiful scene. Then you put the CNN rose-colored glasses on and then it's Hitler getting a salute in Germany in the 1930s. That's the CNN mindset right there. And that's what Twitter is telling you when they say, we're going to correct our algorithms so that InfoWars doesn't pop up at the top of your feed. It doesn't matter if InfoWars is right. It doesn't matter if the New York Times and the Washington Post have been caught lying. We're going to give our users the best experience by indoctrinating them into our liberal mindset. So yes, we will correct that. We will fix the problem of InfoWars getting any exposure on our platform of Twitter. Yes, we will fix that. And then on the back end, you have Google and Apple colluding with Twitter against the American people, against the free market, by taking Gab off of their marketplace. So do you see what they do here? So you have Twitter that poses as a free speech platform. Then you have the executives from Twitter saying, we're going to correct Twitter so that you cannot see InfoWars. Then you have on the backside, Google and Apple removing the only competition Twitter has, Gab, from their marketplace. Folks, that is a monopoly of information. That is a monopoly on social media in what is supposed to be a free market. So do you see how they attack from all angles? Do you see how desperate they are? Ask yourself that question. Why would an executive from Twitter say he's going to correct his algorithms so that you do not see InfoWars, but instead an establishment-approved news source? Why would he do that? Why would Google Play and the Apple App Store remove Gab from their marketplace? Why would they do that? Is it because Gab doesn't fix their algorithms to fit their own political bias? Is that because Gab is actually a bastion of free speech where you don't get censored, where the content doesn't get algorithmed out of your newsfeed? Oh, that is why. Oh, Twitter isn't free speech. Oh, Apple and Google are acting as monopolies and do need to see some antitrust lawsuits come down. That's what's going on here. That's right. And just like everything else, InfoWars was reporting on that years ago. And even with all that, folks, we still beat them and we still took the presidency. Will we take Congress in 2018? We'll be right back.
Is under attack. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream
right now at Infowars.com/show.
Well, the establishment hates InfoWars, folks, because we are the biggest threat to the establishment. We are the red pill. We are the voice of truth. We are the tip of the spear. We have tomorrow's news today. So it wasn't enough in the last segment that we have Democrat lawmakers on the Hill crying to Twitter executives to censor InfoWars, and then the Twitter executives pandering to them, saying, oh, yeah, we'll fix that. We'll fix InfoWars being out there. You know, it just hit me. It's like, I already know this, but you just think about it, and then it hits you. Again, the people that are the loudest, the people that are crying the loudest are the most corrupt. So the reason why Mike Quigley is afraid of InfoWars is probably because Mike Quigley is afraid that we might get the jump on a story about him and actually report it. So be careful, Mike Quigley. Be careful where you step next, because we're draining the swamp, buddy. And you're a Democrat lawmaker from Illinois. You're going to have to be reelected someday. And just because Illinois has been brainwashed into voting blue all the time, don't think the American people cannot see right through you and your 2 cent bowl cut, Mike Quigley. But it's not just Democrats. Ted Cruz is a guy that I'd say we were very positive on before the 2016 election campaign. Then the 2016 election campaign got nasty and we were anti-Ted Cruz. Now he's kind of back on the conservative movement, saying a lot of great things, kind of supportive of what Cruz is doing now. But even Ted Cruz is afraid of InfoWars, as he literally fleed the scene as our very own Rob Dew was just trying to answer or just try to ask him a question.
Thank you.
Can I get one question? Real quick.
Sorry, guys. Yeah, we're heading to a different location. I'm sorry.
Where are y'all going to? Senator Cruz.
There's Rob Dew. You can't get anything. Totally blocked out.
It's going to be a nice question. I don't know why he doesn't want to talk to us.
And there he goes.
That was Senator Ted Cruz. He prayed with the Billy Graham people and wanted to get one question in, and he didn't want to answer it. Didn't even want to shake my hand, which is kind of odd. Maybe InfoWars scared him off. He had an encounter with Alex Jones in an elevator after the inauguration speech in January of earlier this year in the museum, actually. So interesting that he didn't want to talk to us. But anyway, Rob Dew reporting for InfoWars.com.
So there you go. There's Ted Cruz literally fleeing the scene from Rob Dew. Great work at the scene there to catch that footage. Wow. I don't know why Ted Cruz couldn't even just give him a remark, couldn't even just acknowledge our very own Rob Dew. I mean, if it's one thing to just say, hey, sorry, no more questions, you know, sorry, okay, you know, but he just totally snubs him as if he doesn't even exist. Wouldn't that be convenient to corrupt politicians? Wouldn't that be convenient to DC? Wouldn't that be convenient to the establishment, to the swamp, to the corrupt politicians out there if InfoWars just didn't exist? Wouldn't that be convenient to Hillary Clinton if InfoWars just didn't exist? Boy, it sure would. It'd be so convenient to them that they actually want us to disappear. They don't want us to exist. Of course, you know what that means, folks. That means that we have to go even harder in their face. Now, here is a Republican lawmaker, Chris Stewart, who is not going to cater to the censoring of American patriots.
My last point, and this is so difficult, and I'm really glad I'm not sitting in your seat. All of you have used the term fake news. It's been used pervasively in this hearing. And we all recognize that fake news is in the eye of the beholder many times. There are some things that are reported that are demonstrably untrue. But the vast majority of it is some spectrum there of opinion and reality. And I'll use Mr. Quigley's example. He said, for example, and as I best recall, Amon warns de Blasio he ignored it because he was too busy criticizing Trump. Well, there's an element of both in there. Perhaps Amon did warn de Blasio. We don't know that yet. And whether he was too busy criticizing Trump, to some degree, is a matter of opinion. Now, to my friend, Mr. Quigley, and I don't mean this as a criticism, I mean to him, that's fake news. Someone else read that, and they see legitimate critique in there. How in the world do you intend to identify fake news without weaponizing this in the political realm? Because, as I said, there is an enormous degree of opinion included in almost every bit of that. And if you're viewed as being political in this, and it's my fear that you will be, regardless of what you do, if you're viewed as being political, then it's not monitoring fake news, it's weaponizing it and it's editorializing it. And the best example of that is simply the fact-checking. Fact-checking is as opinionated many times as anything else that we see. And I've got 24 seconds, you can't answer that, so I'm going to express my fear of it. If you have a very quick response, I'd be interested in what that might be. I don't blame you for remaining silent. You understand, though, why we're concerned about that and the challenge, and we want to help you on that, but we live in a political world already. I hope we make it less political than more so. I yield back, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman yields back. Mr. Swalwell, 5 minutes.
Well, I really like the way that he took Quigley's own phrase, weaponizing information, and spun it against him, because that is what Quigley's trying to do. That's exactly what Quigley is trying to do. So great job there, Chris Stewart, for standing up for InfoWars and free speech on the floor. We salute him. And there's a guy that you want to continue to keep in government, folks. But, you know, speaking of fake news, sounds familiar, right? Manhattan man put racist graffiti on his own car, but won't be charged. So just like the Muslim who faked the mosque attack, just like the Jewish guy who went out and kicked all the Jewish headstones, now you have the guy who sprayed the racist remarks all over his own car caught. Who told you that this type of stuff happens? President Trump. He got scolded for that. He was right. Who told you that they stage attacks as false flags to demonize their enemy? Infowars.com. No wonder they want to shut us up. But here's the underlying problem with this story. See, you're not going to have a stop to the issue of people spreading fake hoax hate crimes. And just to go to another level, people who falsely accuse someone of sexual assault. You're never going to see an end to this until those are punished. Now, here's what I think needs to happen with this stuff. Whatever charges would have been levied against whoever sprayed the racist graffiti on this individual's car, whatever charges would have been put on him, those charges should now reflect back onto Dontarius Williams, who filed the fake report and sprayed the racist propaganda on his own car. That's how you stop this. How about all of the females that falsely accused athletes and famous people of sexual assault so that they can get fame and money, a quick buck? You're never going to see an end to that unless those same accusers face the same crimes that the people they accused of would have faced if they were actually guilty. So here's what I think needs to happen now. You want to stage a fake attack? Get ready for law enforcement to come after you. You want to charge someone with a fake sexual assault allegation? Get ready for you to be facing your own allegations. And until you have that happen, this will not stop. And funny, as we see all of this Weinstein gate collapsing and continuing, nobody seems to be crying false accusations. Amazing. Amazing how that happened. So now in Hollywood, you just say, accuse. And then you're guilty, apparently. Oh, wait, they were guilty all along. Welcome back to the War Room. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. Earlier today on the Alex Jones Show, we had a powerful caller breaking down his intel and what he knew about what's going on in Saudi Arabia. Here is the powerful information from that caller.
Zach in Florida, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, Alex, it's great to be back on. And I just have to really update some key information to connect some dots regarding.
Yeah, because you were gonna come on as a guest, but then you got in some trouble.
Yeah.
And I didn't even notice that was the regular Zach from Florida. I'm sorry I made you hold an hour, but I'm just all over the map today. Because you talked about the Saudi Arabia shakeup that was about to happen, how they were involved with the Vegas attack. Just to recap for folks, you've been a great source of info. So go ahead.
Yeah, and I got back and forth with Nico. Just haven't heard anything back, but I'm sure you guys are busy there building your operation. So let's get into the Saudi Arabia thing, which is very important. The shakeup that comes right after the Vegas intel that dropped, which is important. And this is deep and this is major. So let's get right into it. Yemen, this is the next play. It's going to be Yemen. What we have in February, if you know, people have such a short memory, but I've compiled the timeline here so I don't miss this stuff. In February, we have to remember the Navy SEAL raid in Yemen that Trump ordered, that killed a couple Navy SEALs, came back, and Trump quotes, we have gathered very vital intel. Immediately following that, you have John McCain completely discrediting Trump, coming out and, you know, saying that this raid in Yemen was not appropriate. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's out of control. And why do you think that was? The information that was gathered in Yemen uncovered them all physically. So they physically gathered that intel.
Okay. Sure, that was who was controlling the ISIS al-Qaeda operatives out of Saudi Arabia.
And it's no coincidence that a few months after that, you have John McCain, miraculously having, a brain cancer surgery out of nowhere. Because make no mistake, he will be questioned in the future, and they're going through some other motions right now. But this is very convenient when it's going to come to him being questioned. Lack of memory, therefore,
sure, because he went and funded the radical jihadis himself. He quarterbacked the whole deal. He's been up to it, in his eyeballs. And now you're right. They go get the intel out of Yemen. Now this is happening in Saudi Arabia. They're rolling up the whole globalist network with the Bushes, you name it. Now, he's been calling a couple of years, but he's been calling almost every week the last 6 months or so. And Zach just has great sources. I don't know his whole background there from former Special Forces Command in Florida. I think that's where he mentioned some of his info was from before. I just know from all my big sources, and I got a lot of sources right up to the president, and I'll just leave it at that, who we still occasionally get info directly from. I mean, that's not a secret. In fact, General Kelly's blockade of info is suddenly lifted. It's crazy. And he's gotten on board it now, is the information we've gotten. He was going to join us last week for an hour, and then I guess he got called in and got in some trouble. Even though he's never given us anything classified, he just pointed out what's happening. And he said last week, big shakeup in Saudi Arabia, criminal networks there working with ISIS and al-Qaeda, connected in to what happened in Vegas. And I was given that information from sources in Vegas, but also in the federal government. But they said, please don't talk about that yet. But then he called in and talked about it. So he's got some sources. I don't know what he wants to say about himself. He's going to join us by Skype tomorrow. And I sure hope it ends up happening. But just recap Vegas, what you predicted last week, the civil war inside Wahhabist Islam, and what the next big shoe to drop is. I mean, they're killing a bunch of these princes. There's a civil war over there. They're blowing up their helicopters. And we knew this tied back to trying to find out who's actually behind ISIS. We now know it's the Clintons, it's Obama, it's Hillary. It's the Arab Spring. It's the Muslim Brotherhood. And now this is the proof from Yemen in that raid that got the globalists so upset when it happened. So walk us through it.
Okay, so we have the call on October 31st, me and yourself, and they're talking about the Saudi connections in Vegas. Obviously, during that weekend, you have the incredible shakeup in Saudi Arabia, and it's not coincidental because that was pretty important stuff, and that's kind of stuff you don't bring up. But because here's the thing with those PMCs. When you have this prince who was arrested, he's at the big center of this, because Prince Al-Walid, the billionaire who was...
He's the one always running down Trump, quarterbacking a bunch of the leftist stuff here.
He's publicly funded several PMCs, and this is what they do with the private military companies. They run as a certain name in a certain organization, then like Blackwater and some of the other ones, they continue to change names.
And they've been ballsy enough to be in big firefights in Saudi Arabia the last 4 days that's not really in our news, but some of it's leaked. I mean, there's actual civil war going on.
So this happens. We leaked the information on the 31st, and obviously, we see what happens there on the weekend leading into the new week. So this happens, but what we have to realize is, and this is the prediction, and this is the next big news, which will occur this week, unless we, stop it here. There's going to be attack by what will be described as Yemeni nationals in the United States, make no mistake, but these are, and I'm just going to go ahead and put the agency out here, these are CIA operatives, these are CIA proxies who are rogue at this point because their entire infrastructure has been dissolved by the Trump administration, okay? When you launch an ICBM from Yemen, there is absolutely not a reality in the world where they have the capability of doing that, okay? So for this thing firing into Riyadh being shut down, they are incredibly desperate. And I'm just going to say it right now. During this week, there is an attempt by Yemeni nationals in the United States to pull off a false flag. And because they're desperate, but here's the thing, the money source is captured at a evacuated Ritz-Carlton in Saudi Arabia. Those individuals, they flushed the Ritz-Carlton in Saudi Arabia, and they're being held there.
As you said weeks before this came out, they pushed their bluff with Trump of a destabilization campaign, and he just basically called their bluff and rolled them up.
You have, and John McCain is just so done. John McCain plays a big part in this, okay? He plays a major part in this. He's timestamped on February 2nd making his comments about the Navy SEALs, you know, making the raid in Yemen and how this he was by the...
Well, he's photographed with the leaders of ISIS before they created the group. I mean, he's red-handed.
Who are in Yemen as we speak and are freaking out because the spout of money has dried up. They got Al-Walid in Riyadh right now, flushed out.
And let's boil it down, because this is all confirmed. Just like Trump said, Hillary and Obama founded ISIS. Trump is rolling up the double networks that even Saudi Arabia didn't like, because they were used to menace and control Saudi Arabia. He's going to clean, open, real, pragmatic politics. He's told the king this. The king, once he was shown the evidence of the data files, got on board. Now they're getting in line, and Iran better get in line, because this is all unfolding. But you're right. They've got stay-behind terror networks in the deep state that's refused to go and is going to now launch attacks and try to blame the Second Amendment. You can just see it unfolding. So continue.
So basically, you know, callers and some individuals are speculating there will be a war with Iran. No, this is the war with Iran. This is a legitimate war with Iran. There is no kinetic war with Iran without their deep state backing. And that is gone, thanks to Donald Trump. He has shifted his real military, focus, I guess you could call it, into the South Pacific and Korea, as we talked about, me and yourself, 6 months ago, bringing up strategic patience. In Trump's speech in Korea, where he takes his business coat off and puts on the bomber jacket, is the most symbolic thing ever. Then reads specifically from a sheet of paper. He's a great speaker in order. But he speaks and specifically mentions the term strategic patience, which has not been uttered diplomatically like he has said in the last 25 years. And that's for good reason, because these are deep state intelligence-backed proxies. There is no kinetic war with Iran. We're in it right now. We've leaked them. We've double-crossed them. Trump is playing, I don't even know if you call it 5G chess. He's so far ahead, it's so brilliant, and this line that he's an idiot, they are highly mistaken.
Well, I know what Trump did. He went the day after he got elected, once he was sworn in, he went to the CIA, he gave them all big plaques, American flag plaques on wood. I'm only saying that people know that I actually talked to folks that were obviously in on the meeting, and it wasn't a classified meeting, and the point is, but it never leaked, and he said, whoever's for America and wants to be straight shooters, I'm going to back you 100%. Whoever isn't, get ready, I'm coming after you. And he said, we're not playing games and double-crossing people anymore. He said, this whole global system of double-crossing and funding terror is over. Then he got with the people that understood the full operation and green-lighted them rolling up these networks of the Muslim Brotherhood that we know has been funded by multi-actors in the Middle East, not just Iran. And so what we're seeing is a major stabilization operation by the president. But I agree with you. They're going to try to launch some attacks. But what did they think was going to happen when they pulled off the Vegas operation? I mean, did they think Trump was just going to crap his pants and say, okay, we'll, you know, please don't stage a bunch of terror attacks. You know, I'll back off now.
I don't know what they really thought Trump, and I don't think think people have underestimated him, obviously. But that was symbolic, and that was blackmailing to other people within the actual infrastructure of our government. There's certain words, keywords, and certain signifiers within the attack, even within the attack in Texas, which you could get into, that are essentially symbols to people within the infrastructure, essentially a hand being played in a game of poker.
All right, so, ladies and gentlemen, those are the types of callers we get into the Alex Jones Show, because we will report the truth, and it all was cross-referenced with Alex's intel, and it all checked out. This is pushback from the establishment. This is pushback from the deep state. It's not going to be easy to take back America, but this is the land of the free and the home of the brave.
This is the return of the Republic. And this is the War Room with Roger Stone.
Welcome back to the War Room, folks. You just heard the caller in the Alex Jones Show today talking about his intel on what's going down in Saudi Arabia, how that's relevant to domestic events here in the United States. And then he got called in for questioning, we're told, with an FBI escort. Because that information is now out there. So we'll continue to keep tabs on that as usual at InfoWars.com. We've got some elections going on today, some important elections by my measurement. And
you've seen the Virginia race really, really heat up. And I think that's because it's very important for Virginia to have as many Democrats in office as possible. This is a swamp state. It's right next to the District of Criminals. And actually, I think I can't recall the statistics, but I'm pretty sure Virginia per capita may have been the highest nation, or excuse me, may have been the highest state per capita for kidnapping. Right next to DC. I'd have to have that back referenced. I'm sure the crew is on that right now, but I'm pretty sure that Virginia, right next to the District of Criminals, per capita was one of the worst states, if not the worst state, for child kidnapping. So you've got that race where the Democrats are freaking out because there's a close race between Nordum and Gillespie. And I think the attack ad against Gillespie is only going to hurt the Democrats. But wow, if you got a Republican to replace McAuliffe in Virginia, that is like ultimate victory. But then you have New York. We honestly haven't been giving this guy enough credit. Bo Deedle, to me, is a champion. And this guy should walk with the New York City mayor race. Unfortunately, I don't think that's going to happen because Bill de Blasio is entrenched. Bill de Blasio marches with, what was it, Cuban dissident terrorists? I forget it was, but he marched with literally a terrorist that was in jail. Marches with Linda Sarsour and has his staffers arrested for having hundreds and hundreds of files of child porn. Now, tell me how that man ever wins another election. A terror attack. Multiple terror attacks happened in New York City during his regime. Tell me how Bill de Blasio gets in office again unless you literally have the dumbest people in the world voting. Now, Bo Deedle is a true New Yorker, a first-class guy, and when it comes to his politics, he's a no-nonsense type of policy guy. But this video, to me, really just encapsulates why Bo Deedle should be elected and not Bill de Blasio. This is a video that Bo Deedle shot this morning and put on Twitter of him joining a street performer on the subway talking about why he should be mayor.
Freestyle flow, off the mental, blow for Bo. Yo, it's just that simple. Bo for mayor, he's a cool player. Enjoy the rest of your day, this is what we got to say. Life is beautiful, so live it up to the fullest. Bo is for mayor, yeah, that's no bullshit. No curses in my verses, didn't have time to rehearse it. We just came to uplift your vibe and scratch the surface. Go ahead, Bo, tell them what you know.
All I know, I love the street music. When I become mayor, there'll be more street music, because that's what the good sound is. Make sure, feel good, take the anger, and leave New York.
That's
we
right.
Love love.
That's right.
Like my friend Sean Pimp Dan Lee, he's now brother love. I'm mayor love.
Bring that player love. Get that mayor love. Vote for mayor. Vote tomorrow on the day.
Now, if that doesn't put a smile on your face, I don't know if you have a soul. And let me tell you something. Bill de Blasio isn't going on the subway without his security detail snapping and dancing with street performers. Bo Deedle is a true New Yorker, folks. I really hope Bo Deedle gets in office. That guy's a champion for America.
Is the War Room.
Welcome to the War Room. I'm your co-host, Roger Stone. Sitting in with me, co-host, Owen Scheuer. I have just seen this news. It has been revealed that Omarosa, late of The Apprentice, now a second-level White House aide in the Trump White House, who had formally requested permission to have her wedding in the Rose Garden, which had been denied, evidently arrived at the White House, bewildering security guards with her entire wedding party, and had the reception in the Rose Garden anyway. General Kelly is reportedly very unhappy about this turn of events. Now, the real sin of Omarosa has nothing to do with her wedding party or this hillbilly-like intrusion into the White House, but the fact that she arranged for the Trump White House to send a delegation to Haiti to inaugurate the presidency of its current leader, who is part and parcel of the same gang of plutocrats who raped Haiti under Bill and Hillary Clinton and the Bushes. This is the same bloodless regime that has conducted child prostitution and child trafficking, as well as the literal rape of the Haitian people who are mired in poverty and disease. Omarosa should be fired. She should be fired by General Kelly, but she should have been fired when she pulled that stunt. I would point out to you that this was never a formal State Department delegation, but rather an unorthodox official delegation from the Trump White House. Owen? What's the latest on your Periscope?
Well, I saw that story on the Drudge Report today. I'm glad that you were able to kind of give the audience a background on that, Roger, because there's always seems to be some sort of White House intrigue going on, and Omarosa's been in the centerfold of some of that in times past. But you always have the inside scoop, so I'm glad you went with that. And, you know, Roger, I just want to say that it's amazing the times we're living in right now, because everything becomes so politicized where there is no news story really anymore that doesn't go unpoliticized. So you imagine this story itself will probably get some politicization, and the left will try to spin this in some way, shape, or form against President Trump.
Oh, they're already saying that General Kelly's being upset with Omarosa is racist because he is white and she is obviously a woman of color. This woman is a grifter. She specifically requested permission for a White House wedding, which would have been most inappropriate as she is not a member of the First Family. General Kelly has cut off her access to the president, but she remains on the payroll. As I point out, she did very substantial damage carrying the message of a ruthless pro-Marxist regime in Haiti of oligarchs who are literally robbing that country blind. Essentially, the Clintons and the Bushes absconded with hundreds of millions of dollars in earthquake relief funds, but the one area of the island that was untouched by the national tragedy, they did spend recovery funds to build a state-of-the-art port. That way they can export the gas, the oil, the minerals, and continue the further rape of the Haitian people who live in abject poverty and disease thanks to the inaction of the post-earthquake recovery that was supervised by Super Ambassador Bill Clinton and his wife, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton.
Well, and while we're on that story, just to kind of retreat and put it back out there, you know, in the hospitals that the Clinton Foundation supposedly built in Haiti were nowhere near the population dense areas. They're building hospitals in the middle of nowhere. That doesn't make sense. And as far as I could tell, again, based on my research, the schools that they were reportedly building, I'm not even sure if anybody ever knew or heard of those ever actually going up. So this is just more of the Clintons basically robbing people blind.
Essentially, virtually nothing was built. Enormous contracts were paid out to companies that had no experience in home building or school building or hospital building or road paving. But very, very little ever got done. The largest prefabricated home contract turned out to be a Ponzi scam. They built nothing. More friends of Bill. So this is why Omarosa needed to go down. Meanwhile, President Donald Trump, I think, is being lulled to sleep by his senior advisors, who do not see the danger of Robert Mueller lurking just ahead. The idea that Mueller can even continue to function as a special prosecutor in view of his public record is really extraordinary. You know, he led the 1991 probe against the Bank of Credit and Commerce International, the infamous BCI, failed to prosecute the largest, literally biggest bank swindle in history, which also allowed the illicit financing of terrorism and the arms. The director of the FBI squashed just before 9/11. He even allowed one FBI informant to be disloyal to the U.S. in preference to the Islamic terrorists they were profiling. He allowed, on 9/11, multiple members of the Bin Laden family to escape the country without being questioned. And this is at a time when all airspace was closed down to Americans. In order to make his record look better, they entrapped 100,000 people who were immigrants here who were guilty of nothing whatsoever more than being in the wrong place at the right time. Classed them as terrorists, held them in prison for multiple years without trial, and ultimately none of them were prosecuted, simply to make his enforcement numbers look better. This is the kind of man we are dealing with, Owen.
I want to get back into Mueller on the other side, but before we get to the break in this segment, I just had a thought that I wanted to run by you so you could kind of straighten me out here. Perhaps I'm venturing far off the trail, but what do you think the odds are that this Omarosa wedding outtake could have been a co-opted event scripted to try to demonize President Trump in the media? Am I reaching here? Am I too out in left field, Roger, or could there be something to that?
Yeah, no, I think that it is leaked because it shows the guile and the artifice of Omarosa, and this is mostly going to be a gossip pages story. This is a page six type story. It only becomes anti-Trump if Kelly now moves on Omarosa, which I believe, based on her disloyalty and insubordination, he should do. She applied to have this event formally in the Rose Garden. It was denied. She went ahead and did it anyway, simply by showing up and bullying her way in.
Yeah, that seems a bit strange. And then, of course, the media coverage, the outburst and everything. And you know that these people are foaming at the mouth to do anything to try to delegitimize President Trump. On the other side with Roger Stone, we'll get back into what's coming with the Mueller fake witch hunt investigation. I've got a question for Roger in expectations of what we might see with Sessions testifying before the House Judiciary Committee next week. We're going to get Roger's expert take on that. On the other side of this break, you don't want to go anywhere, folks. And please, as always, support us at InfoWarsStore.com. You want to give a big political swift kick to the groin to George Soros, to Chuck Schumer, and the likes? You go to InfoWarsStore.com, you purchase our products. That's how you give them a political kick right to the groin.
Welcome back. You're on the War Room, and I'm your host, the unseen Roger Stone. Last week, when I proposed that the president demand a special counsel be appointed in the matter of Uranium One, Vanity Fair, which I refer to as Insanity Fair and Raw Story, better known as a Raw Garbage, both immediately came forward with write-ups that were so much sandbagging partisan crap that it was laughable. I love the incredible hypocritical argument that somehow pursuing Uranium One requires no special counsel, given how trumped up the charges are against Paul Manafort and how they amount to little more than run-of-the-mill assistant U.S. attorney-level prosecution work at best, a weak indictment, to say the least. Notice that the indictment against Manafort speaks extensively about his high earnings, his millions of dollars, his expensive wardrobe, his high living on the Hamptons, and they imply that he is guilty of tax evasion, but they bring no tax evasion charges against him. If this Uranium One special counsel tack is to be pushed any further, the perfunctory point must be made repeatedly, of course, that Mueller should never have taken the special counsel appointment in the first place, since his doing so arguably violated the special counsel statute concerning conflicts of interest or any sort of personal or professional relationship of any individual who might be a target or subject of the investigation. That would, of course, include Mr. Comey, the protege and best friend of Mr. Mueller, the third amigo in this triumvirate being none other than Rod Rosenstein, the de facto Attorney General of the United States. Now, Mr. Rosenstein was the U.S. attorney who supervised the investigation into Uranium One, but it also compromises Assistant Director Andrew McCabe. You remember him. He's the guy that approved taxpayer monies to pay Fusion GPS for the dirty dossier, and the guy whose wife took campaign contributions from Bill and Hillary funneled through Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe. Oh, yeah, you remember him, Andrew McCabe. And then, of course, you have Comey and Mueller himself, both of whom headed the FBI extemporaneous with the Uranium One investigation, which they all participated in order to cover up. In other words, the four guys who are twisting the president's tail right now are the very victims who would be investigated under any legitimate, fair, and honest Uranium One prosecution. So given Mr. Mueller's professional ties and personal chumminess with Comey, a figure in this entire mountain of BS, Mueller's unflinching acceptance of this appointment showed right from day one and ever since that he's inherently compromised and that he is demonstrably willing to brazenly disregard any all and all ethical considerations and attorney ethics in order to wage his little attack on the president. Let's be as clear as we can. The special prosecutor law, so-called special counsel statute, expired long ago. And therefore, we're not operating on any reasonable restraints on Mr. Mueller. He's not required to file reports with the attorney general. He is not required to seek the approval of the attorney general when he is forced or when he wishes to expand the scope of his investigation. Remember, Mueller is trying desperately to get his hand on Donald Trump's personal financial information, which is not public. Trust me, I've had several reports of efforts by Mueller to obtain these records of financial real estate transactions that happened 20 years ago and don't regard or involve any Russians. He is far afield of his mission. Owen, what do you think Sessions will say before the House Intelligence Committee?
Well, I'm so glad that this is where you went, because this is exactly where I wanted to go. And based on what I'm reading, Roger, it appears that they're really trying to pin Sessions in the same type of thing that they pinned Papadopoulos on, and that is a process crime. Now, this is very strange to me because Sessions has already recused himself, yet they want to continue to question him as part of the probe, which I only think that Sessions' recusal is the only reason why they can even do such a thing. I wish he would have never recused himself from the beginning. But it appears to me that they want to handcuff Sessions into admitting a process crime that he did not disclose information that he knew about Papadopoulos at the time they first questioned him. Now, I hope, Roger, that Sessions goes the opposite direction. I hope instead of playing defense tomorrow, or excuse me, not tomorrow, next week, that he plays offense and he asks them questions. Why aren't you taking the Russian probe into the Podestas harder? Why aren't you going harder after Hillary Clinton and those involved in the Uranium One deal? Why do you continue to go on the witch hunt for Donald Trump? That's not what we've seen from Sessions so far as AG. We've been kind of upset that he's not the junkyard dog that we hoped he'd be, and he's kind of more of a chihuahua, if you will. Nothing against chihuahuas. But I think they're looking for a process crime, and I think that if we take anything from the past, Sessions is going to be just as milquetoast as he was in the past and probably just play defense.
Well, I have a different take on it. I am not surprised Sessions cannot remember Papadopoulos because the man is a non-entity. He was a campaign volunteer. He was a member of a 100-member committee. The meeting in which he and Sessions have their one and only interface has 50 or 60 people in the room. It's not exactly intimate. And I could understand how Sessions may have forgotten that. The testimony of Carter Page is a bit more troubling. But in all honesty, I think I'd go the other way. It seems to me that the Attorney General's been somewhat forgetful about Russia and Russian contacts that, albeit they may have happened, appear to me to be fairly benign. But that's a good reason for him to step down now. He needs to step down now. He needs to be replaced by a real prosecutor as our attorney general. I nominate former U.S. Attorney Rudy Giuliani or Judge Andrew Napolitano or Andrew McCarthy or former prosecutor Trey Gowdy. Any of those men would be more than able of doing this job, and abiding by the rule of law. The Justice Department is under the control of Rod Rosenstein. Rosenstein is one of the three amigos plotting the takeout of our president. He's in on it. He's the man who appointed Mueller, who told him to do that. They didn't even have a crime for having a special prosecutor prosecute. They launched a witch hunt investigation in which they're looking for anything, including, as we see in the case of Manafort, an attempt to coerce testimony in order to, and then leak, which are the handmaidens of the Obama Justice Department and the trademark of Mr. Mueller. And
warning,
this broadcast is not for the weak-minded.
It's The War Room with Roger Stone. Watch the live stream
right now
at Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back. You're at The War Room with Roger Stone and my co-pilot, Owen Scheuer. We were talking about Robert Mueller and his public record. It's interesting to me that after the investigation of 9/11, when many issues arose regarding the conduct of the FBI, Mr. Mueller took the position that none of those issues, were, however, quote, non-starters. As many cried foul during the NISD investigation, the FBI failed to pursue even a single complaint, allowing the NIST to present material that actually violates the laws of physics. During the CIA's rendition period, when the CIA was conducting torture programs, even as FBI agents warned against it, Mueller gave his tacit approval. Agents were simply instructed not to document any such torture and that all war crimes complaints were be made to disappear. During the Obama administration, Mueller said he was unsure if the U.S. government could assassinate U.S. citizens on American soil without a trial of their peers. He actually testified in the Congress to this extraordinary claim. Mueller crippled the efforts to investigate the largest financial fraud ever perpetrated on the American public, the mortgage crisis and meltdown that started in 2008. By 2010, it was clear that there were crimes of scope and magnitude never before seen in the financial world, yet investigations did not lead to a single prosecution or incarceration of even one single guilty banker or financier. Millions of Americans lost their homes and their livelihoods due to fraud, and the guilty entities, thanks to Mr. Mueller, were allowed to go bankrupt and shred the evidence. So Mueller participated in the largest expansion of mass surveillance in the United States history. The super secret FISA court revealed in November that as many as 30,000 Americans were illegally placed under surveillance under the Obama FSA. This list included yours truly, Roger Stone, Paul Manafort, Donald J. Trump, and numerous others, most likely Carter Page. Yet, when asked about the scope and purpose of the surveillance, Mr. Mueller and Mr. Comey both prevaricated before congressional committees. There can be no doubt that his personal relationship with James Comey is the cherry on the top of the sundae, the single greatest reason why Mr. Mueller must resign as the special prosecutor. There you have it, Owen.
Well, I'm just curious when, you know, it's no longer going to be us having to come on air here, Roger, and break down the deep corruption of the Rosensteins and the Muellers. I'm wondering when we will actually get some action from our government to call this stuff out. Now, you said in the last segment, which I think is headline worthy, I think news breaking worthy, that perhaps it's time for Sessions to step down. And perhaps even this hearing next week may be the proper time. And maybe it's time to get someone in there who's going to actually provide some bark at the DOJ instead of just a whimper. So I'm, you know, Roger, it's really absurd that we even have to talk about this. Everything that you're covering is cut and dry. There's no doubt. The swamp investigating the swamp, the rats looking for the rats. And in the meantime, they're spending all this money. You know, Judicial Watch just filed a FOIA request to find out how much money has been spent into this Russian probe. I mean, we're talking about millions of dollars spent on a witch hunt, Roger.
No, Robert Mueller is now conducting one of the most transparently partisan legal hit jobs in the history of the United States against the duly elected president, Donald J. Trump. He's ignoring precedent. He's ignoring the law by not stepping down immediately, even ignoring his multiple conflicts of interest. The public's losing confidence in impartiality is enough to merit a resignation, but he just doesn't care. Au contraire. He's digging in for a fight. He's going to move on our president. Yet General Kelly and the others around the president lull him into a false sense of security. Let's be very clear. Mr. Papadopoulos was a volunteer with no authority in the Trump campaign. He was appointed to a foreign policy advisory board under the supervision of Sam Clovis and under the authority of Corey Lewandowski. The meeting that he had with the president and others on this so-called panel of foreign policy experts happened under the campaign leadership of Corey Lewandowski. When the repeated emails from Papadopoulos to Clovis and presumably Lewandowski did not yield approval of a cockamamie idea put forward of a meeting between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin, and after the transition of leadership in the Trump campaign by Paul Manafort, Papadopoulos emailed Manafort proposing that he could set up a meeting with Putin. Manafort's response was to email his deputy Gates and say, kill this idea immediately. Who is this guy? Cut him off. This committee needs to never meet again. Now, both of these documents, Papadopoulos' proposal and Manafort shutting it down summarily, were provided to the special prosecutor by Ty Cobb, the president's lawyer. and they made no difference whatsoever. Papadopoulos, who was a nobody in this campaign, was indicted anyway. So much for lawyer Ty Cobb's advice to the executive: turn over everything you have, waive executive privilege, and rely on the good judgment and integrity of Bob Mueller. That's the worst idea I've ever heard.
Roger, we're hearing that there are two more sealed indictments in Mueller's probe. I've heard that it's going to be Tony Podesta and General Flynn. What are you hearing about this?
If Podesta is indicted, in my view, it will be a head fake because the only evidence we have of a potential crime by Mr. Podesta is a failure to file when he was representing a Ukrainian political party of a foreign country. And therefore, if he was lobbying, he should have registered. Manafort is charged with lobbying without registering. But in fact, he hired former Republican Congressman Ben Weber, a Republican, and Tony Podesta, a Democrat.
Roger, I'm sorry. But I got to cut you off right there, because what do you make of the news and the allegations that someone tipped off the Podesta group to file the exact papers that Manafort didn't file? Because the same day that they're saying he didn't file the papers in time, the Podesta group just happened to file. What do you make of the allegations that someone tipped off the Podesta group that this was coming down the pipeline?
Not necessarily true, because there's a definition of lobbying. Manafort's work for the Party of Regions was in Ukraine, where he was running a campaign. That is not lobbying the federal government. If Manafort did not lobby, did not contact or direct others to contact, members of Congress or others in the government, he technically would not have to file to lobby. Now, they both filed retroactively, which is very common. By the way, even if they were both guilty of this crime, it's a $5,000 fine and a slap on the wrist. It is very, very, very rarely prosecuted.
Well, we've got one more segment with Roger Stone. We're going to flesh all of this out on the other side. Where does it end? Where does this witch hunt called the Russian probe stop? Where does this out-of-control investigation into non-existent crimes stop? When will the swamp finally be drained instead of investigating itself? Final segment with Roger Stone on the other side. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to the War Room, folks. And not only do we have a 30-plus hour live broadcast commencing tomorrow morning when David Knight kicks off the InfoWars live broadcasting with real news at 8 a.m. Central every weekday, we are going to run live from 8 a.m. Central to at least 6 p.m. Central Wednesday to Thursday. That's right, a 30-plus hour broadcast, a special broadcast commemorating our great victory, the great victory for the American people, the great victory for America, the great victory for truth, the great victory for patriots, the great victory for you out there who wanted to save America. We celebrate it with our live broadcast, 30-plus hours of live broadcasting tomorrow at InfoWars.com/show. And it's all made possible by you supporting us at InfoWarsStore.com. And we don't just ask you to support us. We also pay it forward by giving you great specials and by expanding what InfoWars is doing. Folks, I got to tell you, the new studio being built right now is going to be amazing. It is going to absolutely kick butt. And I am so excited for all of the expansion that's going on right now at InfoWars. I'm so excited for that new studio. And again, you out there make it all possible. So go to InfoWarsStore.com. Look at these specials we got. 25% off DNA Force. Groundbreaking, powerful product. You gotta have DNA Force. It is fighting back against the toxins in our air that are affecting our telomeres and affecting our very lifespan. This is before we're even born, we're learning now. So DNA Force, great product. Protect yourself and protect your unborn baby as well with DNA Force. How about Brain Force? 50% off still on Brain Force. That's while supplies last. We're about to be sold out of that. So get on top of Brain Force with the special. Okay, it looks like we're no longer 50% off here, guys. All right, well, apparently we're on our last leg here of the Brain Force supplement. We're almost out. So we've dropped it to 25% off simply because we just barely have any left. Silver Bullet, however, is still 50% off. How about 40% off Secret 12 Vitamin B12, 40% off Survival Shield X2. That, to me, is a must-have product, folks. That's one of my favorites, Survival Shield X2. That's 40% off right now. And we're running a special discount on Emrex Essentials deodorant, 10% off with coupon code NOSWEAT. No sweat. So all kinds of household products and everything for you at InfoWarsStore.com. The Emrex Essentials deodorant, 10% off with coupon code NOSWEAT. Support us at InfoWars.com. If you want to give a big political swift kick to the groin to people like George Soros and Barack Obama and all these Democrats that want to shut down InfoWars, you go to InfoWarsStore.com. And then we expand to the next level. Wait till you see the studio, folks. All right, let's go back to Roger Stone. Roger, pretty much everything that we reported a year ago is now coming out in Donna Brazile's new book, but they're pretending like it's new breaking news. You know, it's kind of frustrating for me to see everything breaking from Donna Brazile's book, and then mainstream media says, oh my gosh, look, Donna Brazile said this, it must be true. Well, we said it a year ago, Roger.
Well, but it does serve to validate what we said, and therefore I think it has great value. By the way, Owen, I'm on my way right now to Naples, Florida, where I'm speaking to the Collier for Trump Club from 7 to 9 o'clock tonight at the Rose Seafood Restaurant at 2500 Bendeville Beach Road. That's State Road 1100 in Naples, Florida. Speaking there tonight, talking about my book, The Making of the President 2017, which you can get on the InfoWars.com store at a terrific price right now. But I'm looking forward to hitting the opposite coast of Florida, a Trump stronghold, though, and a real Trump stronghold.
Yeah, a state that the Democrats love having their dirty little mitts on, but Trump has taken that right away from them. Probably for the foreseeable future, too. You know what, Roger? Do you mind if I take things in a different direction here real quick, actually?
Lead on.
Well, we just had new revelations come out in the Harvey Weinstein gate, if you will. And the New Yorker publishes a story, Harvey Weinstein's Army of Spies. Did you hear about this? Harvey Weinstein used the same lawyer, Jack Palladino, that Bill Clinton used to smear his accusers. Harvey Weinstein was using the same lawyer as Bill Clinton to basically spy and track and intimidate any would-be accusers of Weinstein. How about that?
Yeah, it was Palladino who threatened the various women who Bill assaulted, and then Hillary actually is the one who hires Palladino to go after these women. So don't forget Hillary's role in this extraordinary little adventure. Palladino is a man who will do anything, and we know that he was actively involved in trying to silence a number of the women that Bill had assaulted.
You know, it's just amazing, Roger. All of these stories, just like with Rosenstein and Mueller and their deep connection to the actual Russian collusion. Now you've got the Clintons totally connected to all of the collapse in Hollywood right now. All over Weinstein. They had him at their events. He's doing fundraising. Same with Kevin Spacey. Now they're going down. I mean, this to me, Roger, even though the left wants to ignore this, even though leftist talking media dummies like Jake Tapper and Don Lemon want to ignore this, you know, they can ignore it as long as they want. But, you know, this is going to reach the American body politic eventually, and it's going to set in as truth. I think that's why the Democrats are literally flopping around like a fish out of water, desperate just for signs of life.
Look, I think there's no point in interjecting fake Tapper and Don Lemonhead into this discussion. These guys are clowns. They're buffoons. They soil themselves every day when they open their mouths. They're not journalists. They're propagandists. They're paid blacks for the deep state. They mouth with them. Crap is disruptivism. They're pea brain. And don't mistake them in any way for media or news organizations. The Clinton News Network is designed to cover up the news. Look at the way under their former chairman emeritus, Tom Johnson, a former aide in the LBJ White House, CNN has covered up the truth about the JFK assassination. Never once reported all of the evidence of multiple shooters.
Yeah, you know, CNN is beyond fake news. It's bought and paid for. It's propaganda. And I think the American people are seeing through that. Final 2 minutes here.
You should have been there when Rob Dill and I stormed their citadel, stormed the headquarters of CNN, demanding to see Jake Tapper, demanding to see Wolf Blitzer, demanding to see Mike Smirkanish. And none of them would come out.
Well, it's amazing, Roger. I've actually confronted most of the people you just spoke about. The only person from mainstream, there's only a couple, but the only person from CNN that I've confronted that was actually willing to have a conversation with me, to his credit, was Van Jones. Jake Tapper ran away and hid and cried. Don Lemon's controllers told me I wasn't allowed to film him when he was on a public street. So these people are total cowards. I at least give Van Jones a little credit because he's willing to have a real conversation. But actually, I got to say, Roger, I think my favorite moment from you and Rob Dew being in New York was when you were interviewing Bob Corker, the dinosaur T-Rex, and he wouldn't give you a comment.
Yeah, but I do want to point out, when we stormed CNN's posh corporate offices and headquarters, Rob Dew was sporting that Che Guevara-inspired hat. It was a great moment in the fight for truth, I must tell you. Even though we were repelled, Tapper refused to come out. Some of their, you know, Anderson Cooper could have come down in his bathrobe, but no. No Anderson Cooper. It was outrageous.
Well, we know who CNN and what CNN really is, Roger, and we're glad that you were willing to go out there and expose them. Final 30 seconds, final comments from Roger Stone.
You know, the legal bills for my struggle and the House and Senate Intelligence Committees have hit $500,000, and therefore any forward-thinking American who wants to go to domedefensefund.com and make a contribution, God will bless you for it, and you'll have the warm thanks of the Stone family.
There goes Roger Stone, folks. We will be right back on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
Today, Netflix releases the first episode of their new series, Damnation.
Our banks and government have all conspired.
I say we call that a miracle, a revolution.
We are war with terrorism, racism.
This is a war between the people of this country. Those who side with wealth and power must be recognized for what they are.
The enemy.
Killers, murderers, drug killers.
Out there organized in a common revolt.
We're gonna need the damn National Guard.
So why am I talking about some silly Netflix show? The series was ordered into production of May of this year, and it's being produced by one of the producers of Game of Thrones, and they only gave them 5 months to produce the series. And why did it desperately need to be aired so soon? And why November 7th? Oh, because it promotes alt-left Antifa resist propaganda. It stars a preacher as the main character who goes around preaching and sparking up resentment and essentially a communist revolt amongst the working class during the 1930s. Not only is it anti-capitalism in nature, but the film is also about class warfare. This series is about the fight against the rich people and the fight against capitalism and those darn white racist people in America. So why should we be concerned about this new series that's pushing anti-capitalist pro-communist propaganda? It's because we live in America and we have a large amount of zombie idiots that subjectively will soak all of this BS into their minds, and we will have more protesters out there on the streets hating America, hating capitalism, hating white people, and hating rich people or people that they just perceive as racist.
Alex Jones is a racist. Alex Jones is a racist.
And of course, Damnation wouldn't be the alt-left series that it is today without feminist propaganda.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
I have a reputation to uphold.
Yeah, I'll get used to this.
One, you have the preacher's wife who's discontent and distraught with being a housewife. I mean, she just makes those cakes too dry, and she just can't live up to this role that she's supposed to be in, because being a traditional woman, a mother, that's so unfulfilling. The second woman heroine character has a much more fulfilling role. She's an African-American prostitute. Wow, that's so much more fulfilling and invigorating. So being a whore and breaking from traditional roles by shooting up capitalists, industrialists, is so feminist. CNN even writes about the controversial series, acknowledging its hostility towards capitalism and its class warfare promoting nature. So essentially, Netflix hired some Game of Thrones producers to produce an anti-capitalist, essentially pro-communist series full of alt-left Antifa propaganda. Okay, Netflix, since you dislike capitalism so much, then you shouldn't mind pro-capitalist Americans boycotting your stupid series.
Is the War Room.
That's right, don't tread on us, because we are the news now. You understand? You understand that? Infowars.com is the media now. We control the media narrative right here, folks. We told you President Trump was going to be president. We told you that the polls were lying. We told you it was the Clintons and the Democrats colluding with Russia. We told you Clinton rigged the primary against Bernie Sanders. We told you all of that. We told you JFK assassination was covered up. We told you the CIA puts implants in the media. We told you the government stages false flag terror events. We had it all. You had all of it at Infowars.com before it was confirmed by the officials. Well, we don't need the official confirmation, folks. We go where the truth lies. And that is why you go to Infowars.com. Before I get back into the Texas shooting and some unbelievable video clips we'll get to here, I did not realize this, but for immediate release from the office of the White House press secretary, today is National Day for the Victims of Communism. Let's really think about that. Today, the National Day for the Victims of Communism marks 100 years since the Bolshevik Revolution took place in Russia. Well, folks, now you've got the modern day Bolsheviks in the form of Antifa, in the form of by any means necessary, in the form of refuse fascism, and really just all encompassing in the form of all the Trump haters that are frothing at the mouth to get him out of office, a duly elected president. Dark decades of oppressive communism, a political philosophy incompatible with liberty, prosperity, and the dignity of human life. Wow. This administration is just, oh, it's so refreshing. Over the past century, communist totalitarian regimes around the world have killed more than 100 million people and subjected countless more to exploitation, violence, and untold devastation. Ugh. Oh, man. Thank you, President Trump. Today, we remember those who have died and all who continue to suffer under communism. Just, oh my, just so refreshing, folks, that we get this out of our White House, that we get this from our president. Do you think the Obama administration would have publicized the National Day for Victims of Communism? Nah. They liked communism. That's why they introduced Obamacare. Wow. So it doesn't matter that you have hundreds of years and hundreds of millions dead from communism. You have communists on the streets of America that want to take America down because they've been lied to and brainwashed into thinking that this is the most evil country on earth. Of course, America has its flaws, folks. But when you compare it to communism, oh my gosh, it's like heaven. So it's just nice that we have a president that tells it like it is, that says this isn't a guns issue, this is a mental health issue, where the White House has an official release. Today is the National Day for Victims of Communism. Absolutely, folks. And let's just pray that more victims of communism don't continue to have to suffer under the false guise that says communism will be your redemption. Communism will equal the playing field. That is a lie. Now, let's get back into the Texas shooting here. Now, look, these clips are honestly sick and disgusting, what I have here from CNN. That is sick and twisted and disgusting. But you know what? I don't want to corrupt the rest of this segment with the pieces of trash that work for CNN. So what I want to do here, guys, is I want to go to clip 7 and let's hear from a hero. Folks, it wasn't the ACLU that saved the day during the Texas massacre. No, it wasn't the ACLU. It wasn't Antifa. It wasn't Black Lives Matter. It was an American patriot, a brave American with a firearm who decided to take things into his own hand and save the day and possibly save lives. Here is the Texas gun owner that saved the day, Stephen Williford.
You can't even really see him yet. You're rounding your corner up here to get closer to see what's going on.
Barefooted.
barefoot. What's in that moment? What's going through your mind before you can even really do anything?
All I'm thinking is I've got to get there. I've got to stop what's happening. I've got to get there. That's the truck I was standing behind. And then when he saw me, of course, he reacted to me. Yes, I don't think he expected to see any resistance. Yeah. He saw me, and we exchanged gunfire.
And that's where that bullet hole from right up there came.
That's from him. You know, like this car has a bullet hole in the window. He was shooting at me, and there's one in the house, too. And one in the house over here.
And could you see people
No, I did not at this point. At this point, I did not.
Your focus was on him, and
he shot across the street into these neighbors' homes that are here. I saw his side, and that's what I shot for. I don't know that's where I hit him, but I knew that that would be where that tactical gear did not cover. And then when he got in, he shot twice more through the window.
So he's in the car right now.
He's in the car, and then he pulled up and he turned down there, and I made one last shot at him as he was
driving off. And where was Johnny in all of this?
He was at, see that stop sign right over there?
Right.
He was parked right there through the whole thing.
This is your community.
This is my town.
This is your home.
This is my home. I was scared like you can't even imagine. I was scared.
Yeah.
But I knew something had to happen because I love those people there. I know I love the people that are in there. And I still don't know who lost their lives, but I'm sure that some of them are my friends. Yeah. I'm sure some of them are my friends.
So there is the white male American patriot toxic masculinist gun owner that saved the day. That is the type of individual that the Austin Chronicle labeled as a terrorist. That is the exact individual the Austin Chronicle and other liberal leftist media outlets have said is the face of terror. A white male gun owner, liberals say, is the face of terror. Yet here is the armed white male that saved the day. Now, of course, this isn't about skin color. I'm just telling you that they want to, for example, liberals who aren't really liberals, they're pseudo-intellectual cowards and nitwits that couldn't even lift up a stack of paper, want to say everyone else is a toxic masculinist because they're so weak. And because they've been poisoned by their environment that they no longer even have testosterone. Just look at the BuzzFeed studies. BuzzFeed reporters test their testosterone or they tested their sperm and they find out they're impotent. Yeah, that's the average male now. An impotent nothing. An impotent wuss. An impotent wimp. So because there's all these poisoned, impotent wusses running around, poisoned by their environment, they say now that if there's a masculine man, that's a toxic masculinist. You want to know who the toxic masculinists are, folks? Those are the folks that rushed to Houston to help victims of Hurricane Harvey. Those are the people that grabbed their gun and saved more people from being shot in the Texas massacre. Those are the same people that flew down to Puerto Rico to aid in the efforts and devastation that happened down there with their bare hands. Those are the toxic masculinists, the people that sign up for the military, put their lives on the line for our freedoms in this country. Those are the toxic masculinists the left tells you to beware of. Literally, the last remaining men of courage and bravery the left hates, even though they save the day every time. War Room. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. We're going to get into the Texas shooting now. And the headline should read, when covering these, that gun control failed. Gun control failed Texas and allowed this nut job to go on a crazed shooting spree. So now we found out some more details about the gunman. He was discharged dishonorably from the Air Force. While in the Air Force, he was threatening his superiors, as well as death threats and trying to smuggle weapons into the base. He also abused his wife and even cracked his own son's skull. And he even escaped from a mental health facility while he was in the Air Force. So you've literally just got stacks and stacks and stacks of a case against the Texas shooter, Devin P. Kelly, as far as his mental health is concerned, much of which should have warranted a felony charge, multiple in my opinion, and stopped him from legally being able to obtain a firearm. So you may ask yourself, well, what happened? Well, let's look no further than the Barack Obama administration, and let's go to an old story from 2013. When President Biden told the NRA, we don't have the time to prosecute gun buyers who lie on background checks. Now, think about this. This is Joe Biden admitting a couple things. One, what he's really saying is, F you, we'd rather just take all the guns. It's easier for us. We would rather infringe on the Second Amendment. It's easier for us. It's much easier for us to politically attack the Second Amendment. It's much easier for this government to try to remove the Second Amendment than actually execute laws that we're crying for. So instead of actually executing the laws to keep guns out of crazy people's hands, such as the Texas shooter, Joe Biden says, we don't have the time. Does that explain why the Air Force didn't file the proper paperwork? Does that explain why the ATF form 4473 was not filed? Does that explain how this shooter was able to get a gun? Should we be looking at the Obama administration? After all, Obama was in office when he obtained most of these guns, and it was his vice president that said, we don't have the time. We don't have the time to prosecute gun buyers who lie on background checks. So an interesting little nugget there as we continue to investigate how this killer was able to obtain these guns, even though he literally beat his own child and was in a mental facility. By the way, did you know that mental health facilities in the United States since the 50s are basically like 5% of what they used to be? Did you know that? That's right. There used to be places where we locked people like this up so they couldn't harm others. Well, now, thanks to the liberals and the political correct nature of our society, you're not allowed to put these people in nut houses anymore. So that way they're able to roam around and kill people and get their hands on guns. So I say it's time to stop putting people in jail for minor drug offenses and victimless crimes, and let's reopen some of these former jails as mental institutions and start putting some of these mental defectives in them. You've got mentally challenged people by choice, by environment, by nurture, that needs serious rehabilitation. Excuse me. Rehab these nut jobs. Put them in a rubber room. And then maybe they will start to rethink their reality when it comes home to roost. Now look at this. Parishioners ponder packing pistols following Texas massacre. Really? What did I say yesterday, folks? What is your first response if someone walks into your church congregation with a gun? You wish you had a gun. So I'm not shocked that common sense people are thinking about carrying their firearms to church now. Absolutely not. And by the way, side note, do you think that this hero shooter that stopped this murderer from killing more people in Texas will get interviewed by Ellen DeGeneres? Is Ellen DeGeneres going to get that interview too? Is this hero going to go on Ellen DeGeneres just like Jesus Campos did? Think about that. Think about why Jesus Campos gets the exclusive Ellen DeGeneres interview, but the hero from the Texas shooter gets nothing. Now, this shows you where their head is really at as far as the political left on the Hill are concerned. This is from NewsWars.com, our very own Dan Lyman. Dem protests tribute to church massacre to push gun control. Representative Ted Lieu slams NRA after NRA instructor took down the killer. And Congressman Ted Lieu, Democrat from California, walked out in protest of a moment of silence for victims of the Texas church massacre in order to promote gun control legislation, even though the gun control legislation in place didn't work again. But think about how sick Ted Lieu is that he walks out of a moment of silence in remembrance of the victims of this bloody massacre. Talk about a sick and twisted individual, Ted Lieu. Well, I've got news for you, folks. I'm in touch with the man running against Ted Lieu, and we're going to get him on the show. And so what we're going to do is we're going to drain the swamp of Ted Lieu. So thank you, Ted Lieu, for showing your true colors of a swamp creature and choosing your own agenda instead of honoring victims of the Texas massacre, you sick freak. Speaking of sick freaks, you know what? We'll just have to do this on the other side because I ran long here. But on the other side, I'm going to play three different clips from CNN that show you how sick and twisted CNN really is, folks. These people hate America. They hate independence. They hate you being able to... They just hate you. That's period. CNN hates you. And they want you uninformed and uneducated. Well, we at InfoWars Store don't want you uninformed and uneducated. We want you to be informed and we want you to be sharp. That's why we sell products like DNA Force, Survival Shield X2, Brain Force, Super Male Vitality, Vitamin B12, Secret 12. We bring you high-quality supplements to keep you at the top of your game because not only do we want you informed with our groundbreaking information and intelligence, we also want you healthy so that you can be at the top of your game in the information war and the top of your game as a parent, as a citizen, as a worker, as a human being. So go to InfoWarsStore.com. Don't miss all of the specials we have going right now. 50% off Survival Shield X2, 50% off Silver Bullet, all kinds of new t-shirts. We've got hats, body armor. Just go to InfoWarsStore.com. Check us out. And with your purchase, we expand to the next level. Strong resist.
Give me liberty
or give me death.
The fight
for the future is now.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream
right now
at InfoWars.com/show.
Just as the average audience member tunes in to an InfoWars broadcast, let's say specifically a new audience member, just as the average common sense, well-rounded individual with still a functioning brain tunes into an InfoWars broadcast for the first time and says, wow, that really resonates with me. Wow, that really hits home. Wow, that's what I was thinking. Wow, this is the first place I can ever find people that say it like it is. And then we maintain them as an audience member because of our groundbreaking coverage. Now, CNN, on the other hand, is the exact opposite. Someone tunes into a Don Lemon or a Jake Tapper or an Andrew Cuomo, they literally get sick, they get nauseous, they want to start punching things, breaking things. This is what CNN does to the average individual, makes them go crazy in fits of rage. Because, you know, when someone lies right to your face, when someone is actively trying to corrupt your country and destroy your culture, yeah, that should anger you. So let's go to this. As promised, folks, this is some of the most disgusting stuff. I mean, CNN has really lowered the bar to like unbeatable, unmentionable, unimaginable levels as far as coverage is concerned, as far as content and news is concerned. CNN is literally like the dirt of the dirt. The cockroaches, not even CNN is a cockroach dropping. They don't even have honor. They're not even honorable as a cockroach. They're literally a cockroach turd. So here's one of the cockroach turds. Don Lemon saying thoughts and prayers didn't prevent the Texas massacre.
Times are we going to have to do this? Mourn with people we don't know, but meet under the most horrific circumstances, their loved ones live, snuffed out in an instant for no good reason. How many times are we going to look up at the TV and see and hear people grieving, sobbing their hearts out in front of the world for the whole world to see? And before we even know the full story, the responses from our leaders are sadly as familiar as the details of the shootings.
Pause it right there.
Cases in point.
This is CNN, who literally jumps at the opportunity to falsely report on any breaking news story. Lemonhead. And he's directly jabbing at President Trump's response to this, even though President Trump was 100% right. Literally 100% accurate. Now, let's go back to Don Lemon lying to your face.
Paul Ryan. Reports out of Texas are devastating. The people of Sutherland Springs need our prayers right now. Vice President Pence, in part, Karen and I send prayers to victims and their families in Texas. John Cornyn, truly heartbreaking news in Sutherland Springs. Please say a prayer for First Baptist Congregation, first responders, and community there. Joe Manchin, who tried and failed to pass bipartisan gun measures after the Sandy Hook massacre, said this: Gail and I are broken, heartbroken to learn of the shooting in Sutherland Springs, Texas, sending prayers from West Virginia. Ted Cruz, keeping all harmed in Sutherland Springs in our prayers and grateful for our brave first responders on the scene. Thoughts and prayers, thoughts and prayers, thoughts and prayers. Don't get me wrong, prayers are important. They really are. But can we just be honest for a moment? And this isn't about religion. It's not about politics. Democrats do it too. President Obama has responded similarly in other shootings. And it's not about religion. As I said, I'm not anti-thoughts and prayers by any means.
Wait a second. Pause it right there.
Very.
He literally just mimicked thoughts and prayers. He literally just mimicked thoughts and prayers. Just go back to the clip.
The very religious Deep South. A Baptist who went to a Catholic school where we prayed at least four times a day, plus Mass on Fridays and church on Sundays, sometimes twice. So spare me the anti-religion tweets. You can keep them. I won't even read them. I don't care.
That's These what you're doing.
These Christians were in church. They were already praying. Thoughts and prayers did not stop an oversight from the justice system, which enabled a guy who attacked his stepson and assaulted his wife from getting a gun. Thoughts and prayers didn't stop a troubled person from buying assault-grade weapons that took the lives of 26 people in an instant. And please don't get
me wrong. Pause it right there. Notice how he ignores the fact that that exact same AR potentially saved the lives of many people and took down the assailant. Wow, Don Lemon has really taken his... I'm trying not to scream here. Go back to Don Lemon.
This is not at all about the Second Amendment or taking guns out of the hands of responsible gun owners. I am a firm believer in the Second Amendment. I'll say that again.
Pause it again. Who is writing this material for you, Don Lemon? Who is putting this on the teleprompter for you? First, he says, I'm not here, making fun of thoughts and prayers. As he's making fun of thoughts and prayers, then he's like, I'm not here to politicize or attack the Second Amendment. And then that's exactly what he does. Do these people really think that we can't see through this? I mean, this is unbelievable. Look at this absolute gibbering, blubbering fool, Don Lemon, trying to peddle his propaganda to America. Nobody's buying it anymore, Lemonhead. Let's go back.
I am a firm believer in the Second Amendment. I grew up with
obviously
hunters,
not
family members, friends all around me. Louisiana, it's all about hunting.
I also
think responsible adults to be able to protect their homes, their property, and themselves. But think about this. How many guns and of what caliber does one person need? Does a civilian
as many as I
really
want,
need
Lemon.
An arsenal? Does a civilian really need body armor? Those are good questions that we should all be asking.
Oh, my gosh.
Maybe you think they should, but we should at least be asking those questions.
Oh.
Those are the questions our leaders should be debating. Our leaders should be leading, not following. and not afraid to be honest with their constituents, even when it is unpopular. Especially when really it is the constituents' lives that are at stake.
Yeah, you're not allowed to have body armor. You're not allowed to have guns.
Stand up to lobbyists.
Yes, oh my God, Donald Trump was anti-lobbyist.
I hope you will join me in praying that our leaders actually do something of substance and action this time that precludes.
Turn them off. All right, guys, I need a meme made immediately. Whether it be someone on the crew right now or someone out there listening, I need a meme made immediately. Find the most disgusting, grotesque picture of a worm that you can find, and then put Don Lemon's head on it, and then put the InfoWars stamp in the corner. Tweet that, hashtag InfoWars at us for the final segment, and we will show it on air. I need this meme right now. The most disgusting, grotesque, despicable, gross-looking worm with Don Lemon's head on it. And you can even put his head on the ass if you want to, because that's what he really is. So I want this meme now. Don Lemon as a sick, disgusting worm. And then you can even put a little caption. I'm coming for your guns. I'm coming for your prayers. I'm Don Lemon, the disgusting CNN worm, slithering around because I'm going to take your guns and I'm going to take your thoughts and prayers. And I'm going to make fun of the Second Amendment, demonize the Second Amendment, make fun of your thoughts and prayers. But then I'm going to tell you that's not what I'm doing because that's what I do. I'm fake news Don Lemon. I'm a propaganda artist. But really, I just read off a teleprompter because I'm not smart enough. I'm not coherent enough to come up with my own thoughts. Tweet your Don Lemon worm meme at War Room Show, hashtag InfoWars, and we will show that on air. Wow. You know what, though? Thank you, Don Lemon. Thank you, Don Lemon, for showing your true colors. Thank you, Don Lemon, for showing us how despicable, twisted, and lacking in integrity CNN really is, folks. You want CNN to go away? You want to kick CNN in the balls? Go to InfoWarsStore.com so that we can defeat them. All right, let's now hear from just as mentally deranged in the head, Cuomo at CNN, who wonders if guns are keeping Americans safe after it was a gun that stopped the bad guy.
Give no dignity to the dead by abusing the facts. So let's start with them. And the
way Pause it right there. First of all, Cuomo, you have no dignity. And second of all, did you hear what he said? Abusing the facts? What? Abusing the facts? That, is that going to be CNN's new tagline? Oh, look at InfoWars. They're abusing the facts. Oh my gosh, here at CNN, we don't tell you any facts, so they can't be using facts against us. They're abusing the facts. Oh my gosh, I'm CNN. We can't report the facts because we're the Clinton News Network, but these news outlets are abusing the truth. They're abusing the facts. He literally said that. They're abusing the facts. Go back to Cuomo.
Gun control or lack thereof gets hot. Facts become a casualty of poison politics. Gun rights advocates will say that guns save
facts,
more lives.
Pause it right there. Facts don't even make it into CNN. CNN is like a morgue for truth. You can't even get in unless you're already dead. Go back to Cuomo.
Then they take. They cite statistics that show guns are used 2.5 million times a year in self-defense. And of those instances, the vast majority of times, the gun owner need only brandish his weapon or fire a warning shot to turn back his attacker.
Now, this is key. Pause it right there. So here's what you have to notice about this clip. He presents you actual measurable statistics here about gun rights. And then watch what he does in the next clip. Or in this clip, but the next segment.
Federal research on gun violence is spotty. That's a political problem. We don't want to look at this closely.
Literally just made that up.
It's a bigger discussion.
Second, he just made that up.
Your suggestion is misleading because it's based on information from the 80s and 90s. The crime rate was much
misleading.
Higher than that. So they
I declare misleading. I'm CNN. This is misleading.
We have a very different
the
situation.
Facts are misleading.
Their own number creates a frightening reality. For a gun to be used in self-defense 2.5 2.5 million times a year. That's once every 13 seconds. All right. So the FBI actually counts the average of justified homicides that involve a gun. And they have about 213 a year from 2005 to 2010. So there's clearly a leap being made here. Those numbers don't size up. So here is the reality. For all the talk about mental illness as the key, studies show the U.S. doesn't have more mental illness than anywhere else. But we do have 25 times the rate of gun murder. 25 times. Americans own more
guns. All right, we got to do this right now. Cut him off. This is why our crew is so important here. Guys, I guarantee you can pull this up right now. I don't know if we're number one, but I would bet you America has got to be in the tops for people prescribed to opiates and people prescribed to SSRI drugs, both that can be directly related to mental health. And what Cuomo doesn't understand here, it's not that America has less mental health issues than other countries. It's that we don't report it that way. 1 in 6 Americans on a psychiatric drug, Cuomo. 1 in 6 Americans right there has a mental health disorder by my measurement. Nearly 60% of Americans are taking prescription drugs. That's the highest ever. Oh, and by the way, wait till you read the side effects on those prescription drugs, folks. But no, we don't have a mental health problem, says the mentally challenged Cuomo, Chris Cuomo on CNN. So Cuomo, but that's the problem. See, Chris Cuomo already has a mental health problem. He's already mentally ill. But because he's a liberal and beyond reproach, you know, he doesn't belong in the rubber room. So there's Chris Cuomo on CNN saying that guns don't keep you safe, even though it was a good guy with a gun that stopped more murder from happening in Texas. Wow. Wow. These people are sick, and honestly, they belong right next to Keith Olbermann in a straitjacket and a rubber room. All right, let's play this clip. Guys, play clip 8, and then let's look at some of these memes. Here's more on CNN. Folks, CNN is ISIS.
The real emphasis to be on doing everything possible to make these incidents less severe and preventing what you can. But this is also, unfortunately, a perfect example of what happens when existing mechanisms are in place that are not followed. Then it gets into the wrong hands.
Oh, you mean
so
the government
many
doesn't
in
work?
This country, so many guns, and a lot of people, including people who are bad people and mentally deranged, who are getting guns when they shouldn't.
This is just so absurd. It's just so absurd, Chris, that the idea, I mean, the president is sticking to the tired NRA talking point of the only way to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. That's
duh.
It. That is not true.
What happens if someone walks into your house with a gun? You either shoot them or you call the police.
Guns. Yep. That's how other countries do it. And the idea that this guy, just to be clear about his background, in case everybody hasn't been reading up, he choked, he punched, he hit, he pulled the hair of his wife, and then he cracked the skull of her infant.
Yeah, he's not supposed
child.
To get a gun.
That's the guy that then was able to get at least 4 guns,
you know,
that we know of.
Yep. So first they challenged Trump, saying he's absurd on his statement, just reciting NRA talking points. And then they actually cite the guy's mental health background, proving Trump right. These people are so deranged. Just, it's just amazing. It's honestly just amazing how much these people hate reality. They hate you. They literally hate everything. They just live in a world of hate. And again, anytime there's gun violence, what do? You either call the police, a good guy with a gun, or you wish you had your own gun, or a good guy with the gun happens to be on the scene like what we saw in Texas. All right, let's look at some of these memes. You guys, we already got some memes. All right, we've already got some Don Lemon, the worm of CNN memes. Let's check it out. Oh, yeah. There's the lemon worm right there, folks. Don Lemon, the worm of CNN. That's it. Don Lemon is a worm. Ha ha! There's worm lemon for you. There's worm lemon coming out of the ground to lie to you and provide false. There's a good one. There's a nice, a voracious consumer of feces. Worm lemon. This is great stuff, guys. Great stuff. All right. You know what I'm going to do here? Final 3 minutes, guys. Let's line up a news blitz. Some of the stuff that I haven't covered yet today. Fox tonight, Brett Baer is going to be reporting from the demilitarized zone in between North and South Korea. Why? That's what I say. Why? Why is Fox sending Brett Baer to the DMZ? Terrible. Terrible. Bad sportsmanship. Bad ethics. A terrible ploy for ratings by my measurement. I think it's sad that they would send Brett Baer to the DMZ just to potentially provoke Rocket Man. Tom Perez. Tom Perez admits Democrat primary was unfair in 2016. Oh, InfoWars proven right again. Hillary Clinton rigged the election against Bernie Sanders, and all the media that cried, Trump rigged, completely silent on Hillary Clinton and the Democrats actually rigging the election. You know, I didn't get any updates on this, but right before we came on air, there was a shooting apparently at University of South Carolina. Active shooter was either going on or drills were going on. I'm not sure. I never got to the bottom of that, but police were on the scene and students were locked down. So that was worth reporting. Manhattan DA to seek Weinstein indictment next week. Apparently, the New York Police Department has been building a case against Weinstein for some of these rape accusations against him. Wow. Folks, imagine if you start getting people like Podesta in a negotiating room, Harvey Weinstein in a negotiating room. Are we going to start having people singing and throwing people under the bus? Could the real collapse be just beginning? New York City voters head to polls to as de Blasio seeks second term. If de Blasio wins again over Bo Deedle, it really shows you the state of New York City. A bunch of liberal, brainwashed morons. A guy, de Blasio, whose staffer got caught with hundreds of files of child porn. A guy, de Blasio, who marches with known terrorists. The media came after Trump extra hard today. An op-ed, I believe this was in the LA Times. Yes, LA Times. The dangerous cult of Donald Trump. There is a cultish quality to President Trump's most ardent supporters. Really? Is that why President Trump supporters have different ideas and there's a bunch of what some people would call infighting going on? No, we all have different ideas because we're not in a cult. MSNBC, Washington Post, CNN, all making up polls today that Trump is losing support. Literally made up polls, no evidence behind it. But there is actually evidence behind this poll. Democrat Party hits lowest mark in 25 years. The Democrat support is the lowest it's been in 25 years, folks. We are winning! You stay classy, InfoWarriors.